Hello, Save Them family. Landon here. Welcome to this episode of the Save Them podcast. This will be our last podcast for 2023. And wow, what a year this has been, huh? I thought I should maybe just start a From the Car series because that seems to be the best time to record podcasts. You know, you're sitting in the car for quite some time. And just kind of wanting to think about things and reflect on what the Lord is doing through us, to His glory. So here we are, and, thought I would just reflect a little bit on what's been going on this year. This has been quite a game-changing year. We've been going at this for just about a decade. So that's been quite something to actually even just realize that here we are, you know. It was about this time, about 10 years ago, that we as a family just kind of sold everything we had, got rid of everything, quit our jobs, and headed to Africa as missionaries, and figured that the Lord would use us somehow. We weren't quite sure what was going to happen. And here we are 10 years later looking at a counter-trafficking mission that is mature, thriving, if you want to use that word. I mean, who wants to thrive in this kind of deal? I mean, I guess thriving is important, as long as we're accomplishing something and we're not just blowhards. So I guess that would be meaningful. But yeah, so it's been 10 years. And as I think through each one of those phases, it's gone up and down and down and up and up and down and down, down, down and up, up, up. And it's not like, a healthy stock market. It's not like, a roller coaster that anyone would want to ride, but here we are. And you know, the number of lives that have come across our paths has just been innumerable. And, you know, of course it's innumerable, but I can't keep track. And I don't think it matters. But it's, you know, hundreds of lives have crossed our paths. And it's just, you think about every single one. I don't like stats because stats are stupid. When it comes to the value of a single human soul, that I don't ever feel that that's an appropriate measure of what we do. There are other nonprofits out there who kind of like to promote statistics and numbers and as though that gives some kind of quantification to what they're doing. And I guess it does, technically, at a raw volume standpoint, but it doesn't really speak to the quality or impact of what you're doing. And as an example, we can rescue one life and that life then gets pulled in by the Lord, and that person becomes an evangelist and evangelizes thousands, and thousands come to the kingdom through that individual who the Lord uses, and that's a big win for the kingdom. But it was one individual whose life was restored and hope was restored in Christ Jesus. It's not that, you know, there may have been 100 others with that one individual, and yet the other 99 did not have the impact of the one. You know, we've had situations where there were teams that went in and rescued people from a drug house, took the victims to a local police station, and then 4 hours later, all of the girls were back on the street or back in the same drug house because the police were in on it. And that nonprofit can say on their website, you know, 20 girls rescued, blah, blah, blah. And technically that's true, and the effort to rescue is noble, but it's incomplete. See what I mean? It's not, I don't know, it's not really completing much of a meaningful mission other than, you know, rescue teams justifying their own existence. And I don't want to speak poorly of well-intentioned folks. I guess all I want to highlight is that what we've really learned in our 10 years, because we were there too, you know, we were there, believe you me, we were there. But what we've learned is that the only thing that makes a sustainable impact is a kind of holistic approach. You've got to attack and tackle all aspects of trafficking at the same time. You can't pick and choose your specialty or subset or whatever and think that that's going to somehow solve anything, because it's not. And so that's maybe part of the learning curve we've been through. We thought we wanted to do X, thought we wanted to do Y. X didn't happen. Y was mediocre. And then Z came out of somewhere, and we didn't even see it coming, and that ended up being amazing, and now we're the experts in Z. You know, and true story, there's actually stuff behind each of those letters. But it's just, and every time you think you've mastered your domain, the Lord has something else in mind. And that's also been part of our journey, has been learning things. In South Africa, there's an expression of earning your school fees, or paying your school fees. And we've paid our school fees. You know, meaning that we've shed the blood, we've earned it in certain domains, and yet the Lord doesn't let us sit there. You know, He's refining us by fire, He's building our character, He's teaching us how to do certain things, but then He moves us on to a next piece of the puzzle, which is necessary to round us out as a holistic capability as His foot soldiers. And yet, man, you constantly feel like, wow, we're never standing in one place. We're never catching our breath, but hey, whatever, you know. We're only here for a moment on this green earth, so might as well get busy. Yeah. But one thing we learned this year was, it was a big, big change in our ministry, is that in burning hard and working hard and always being at it all the time, for the first 8-9 years, we realized that burnout is a real thing, and that it really, really, you can just wipe out your entire operation. And so last year we started getting really serious about balancing family with the work, and prioritizing family, and making sure our team members were never contravening their relationships with their family in order to do the work, you know, because we're first given our families to steward, and that has to be first on our plate of responsibilities. And then the other thing we realize is just sheer time and effort. You know, you gotta take time off. You've got to recharge. You've got to refill your reservoir of goodness, or you're just going to get very, very, very burned out. You're going to get overly cynical and jaded, which removes the compassion that we require in such a ministry. And you never want that individual victim to ever just be a statistic or a commodity which is just fueling your own existence. We don't ever, ever, ever want to be those people, because that's not the heart of the Lord. He doesn't view us as commodities and, you know, check the box creations. No, He actually values each and every one of us and loves us and wants us to be in relationship with Him. So relationship is a very personal thing. So the Lord wouldn't want us to be in relationship with Him if He viewed us as disposable. So, yeah, and that has very much shaped this year for us. So when we brought family back into the equation last year, and then this year we brought rest and recharge back into the equation, it has fundamentally changed the performance, the accuracy, the motivation, the wherewithal and the fortitude of our team has kind of returned in spades, if you will. And I see that the Lord has rewarded that. You know, He has rewarded our faith in Him for it to be His mission and for us to be stewards of it, that by taking the time to steward appropriately and resting as He created us to rest and valuing family the way He created us to value family, that He is honoring and rewarding the efforts that we've put in, and He's bestowed blessing upon the different environments and situations we found ourselves in. So, without getting too heavy into the Christianese, I just wanted to say that when we take the time to walk in line and in concert with the will of the Lord and His character, He does bless His people with the things that matter to Him. So we have seen a lot of fruit this year. We have seen amazing things. We've seen former victims who are now survivors being reintegrated into society in ways that this time last year we couldn't predict. You know, we see one young lady getting engaged and reunited with her children and ready to flourish as she starts a new job. And we see another lady who was wrongly charged and was in prison, but then came out of prison and has now found a whole new life and a new community and new jobs and finding meaning and self-worth in ways that we couldn't predict. And I think that when we understand that the mission is the Lord's and we don't try to predict all the time or plan out all the time how this is going to go to our own benefit, or, you know, in the way that we would want to see it done, the fruit is amazing if we're willing to see the fruit and appreciate it. I think what a lot of times we do is that we get frustrated when we try to plan things out ourselves and then things don't go our way. We get frustrated and figure out, you know, we figure we must be screwing up, or we're losers, or, you know, we've just totally missed the boat and, you know, we're not worthy of even calling ourselves, you know, Christians or missionaries or whatever, because we're worthless and all these different things. But meanwhile, our initial premise, you know, our first principles were flawed. We weren't operating in the will of the Lord to begin with, and so what did we expect to happen? When we were operating within our own will, things are only going to go the way that they can go, which is a flawed, trapped, boxed-in function of our own existence, our own human-created existence. You know, we're limited species. We're not, infinite and all-knowing. We're finite people. There's only so much we can do. There's only so much we can know. And pretending otherwise is ridiculous. You know, I hate this thing in our... I'd say the whole global culture at this point. Just humanity these days. This thing of pretending like humanity has gotten it all sorted out. Because if you objectively just stand back and look at the world around us, yeah, the proof positive is that is not the case. We figured out a whole bunch of nothing. And if you really, really are honest, then all of the education, the secular misnomers and myths and legends that have been pumped into our brains through our education and these past several decades of the secularization of our society, if you look at all that and you kind of objectively say, well, where are we? It's not going so well. You know, and in fact, it's been pretty destructive. There's been a lot of life lost. It happened. It's still happening every day. Just slaughter everywhere. Irresponsibility. You know, corporations putting medications out there that are experimental, and then politicians telling everybody those medications are safe. And it's not okay. You know, it's not okay to lie to people. You know, if you want people to take experimental stuff, tell them it's experimental and give them a choice. Don't lie to them. Don't tell them that this experimental thing is safe and that it's going to help them when you know very well that it could go either way. Or, even worse, you know that it's not going to go that way. But you're going to tell a lie anyways. What is that? So, we see that our society violates the principles and the character of God at every turn. You know, people who justify, you know, they won't justify, or they try to defend one nation, let's say, on a Monday, but then another nation goes to war on the following Thursday. But because we have different relationships with different nations, then we take different stances on slaughter and killing because we justify it based on politics or not. You know, that kind of stuff is inconsistent and again, falls outside the character of God, because the Lord was and is to come. He is consistent always. And it's been quite something as we've journeyed on in this mission to see the real body of Christ and to see the pretend body of Christ, the hijacked body of Christ masquerading as the Lord's children, when really they're the synagogue of Satan. You know, they are there to undermine the true work of the true body of Christ. And it usually surfaces in the realm of lies and truth. You know, because we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. And it's very easy to see when things depart from that. And we get hit with this all the time. I guess one of the challenges we have, and this was a big deal this year, is that our secular government partners don't understand the difference between the true church and the apostate church. Now, think about this. Christ spent a lot of time railing against the religious hypocrites. The apostles spent a lot of time writing about the threats of false doctrine. But those pieces of knowledge are internal to the body of Christ. If you don't understand the Lord's word, if you've never even read it, and you're in a secular job, how are you supposed to know the inner workings of the body of Christ? You're not. And so you're just going to see people who say, I'm Christian, and you're just going to go with it, because what do you care? You don't know any different, nor do you really care, to be quite frank. Let's just keep using that word, care. They just don't care. Like, okay, you see, you're Christian, whatever. They don't care. You know who cares? We do. Because we care that people who take on the name of Jesus are true to his name, and not masquerading as false prophets, etc., you know, leading sheep astray. We're not okay with that. And so the Holy Spirit is consistent within the hearts of true believers. So when we detect inconsistency at the Holy Spirit level, we know that something is amiss. Well, that is discernment. And the Holy Spirit equips us for that, so that the Lord's body will be pure and true and worthy of walking under his leadership and his headship. And it's incumbent upon the true church to push the false church out of the body of Christ and to expose falsehoods when they arise. And we've come across this year. Now, what's interesting is that we have some authority partners who are also true believers. Real solid biblical born again believers. And guess what? They've now asked us to help do just that. Did what I was just talking about. They have asked us to please help them remove the apostasy from the pretend Christianity in the nonprofit world. How about that, huh? Now, that's pretty interesting. So now, because these days, you know, everybody wants to say, oh, you know, government bad, private good, or, you know, government bad, church good. And that's actually not always the case. Actually, the church is made up of people. Holy Spirit resides in people, not organizations. So the body of Christ is everywhere. And whether they're in government or private sector doesn't really matter, or a church organization, doesn't matter. They're still the body of Christ. So this has been very interesting, and we've been taking arms with true believers in government and private enterprise and churches to start to stamp out the apostate church. This is the biggest thing we're fighting right now, is the apostasy. And because there's such a growing apostasy and, you know, glaring hypocrisies in people who call themselves Christians, the secular world is increasingly apathetic to all things Christian. They don't really care. So if you say, oh, I'm Christian, therefore I care about children, they'll say, yeah, whatever. You're just, you may be. The secular world will look at us and say, you may be. Or you may be just one of those guys that says that, but actually on the back end, you're, you know, going around molesting children because that's what church people do. That's their secular perspective. It's very, very jaded, very cynical, and it makes them very apathetic in their jobs to actually help us and do anything, because they're like, yeah, whatever, you're saying this, but can you really prove that you are who you say you are? Well, that's a big ask, right? But it's not so big. It's not so big if we're willing to be true to who Jesus called us to be. You know? Because if we're not glorifying the Father in everything we do, and if we're not operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are actually pretty worthless to the cause of the kingdom. We're just chaff in the wind. So I say all this to say that we are very, very busy exposing falsehood, and that takes the form of everything from apostate churches who are falsely posing as Christians, and then gaining the confidence of government programs, and then not performing, or even worse, in this one situation, turning around and abusing the human trafficking victims and children that are brought into their care. And that is beyond inexcusable and a work of Satan. Okay, there's nothing to be redeemed there. Those people are foot soldiers of Satan. They are the seed of Satan. And as the seed of the woman, we are here to undo the works of the seed of Satan. And that is an ongoing fight. We've also been dealing with this with corrupt officials. It's really bad. Corruption, both in the U.S. and South Africa, is off the charts. And then also apathy and ineptitude. Just the inability for people to do their jobs well. It's stunning. I just can't believe the haughty attitudes and just the bravado of those people who are just so wrong to do so little to help anybody. I mean, this especially applies to the areas of child welfare. The child welfare organizations, whether it's the Department of Social Development or Child Protective Services or victim, family, child care, whatever these, doesn't matter, wherever you are, whatever those groups are called, they're doing a serious disservice to children in need. And we're going after this head on. Because things like corrupt social workers who are adopting out babies of drug addicts and pulling in hundreds of thousands, it's not okay. And they'll tell themselves, well, at least I got the baby adopted and out of the hands of the drug addicts. Yeah, still not okay. And that, the reality is what they're doing is they are facilitating that process and they're kicking back to the drug addicts. They're not actually trying to rescue these children or help in any way. So, you know, lest anyone be taken for a ride on that conversation. But so that's a big thing. Another thing that really blew wide open this year is our foray into the world of illegal mining. This kind of, right at the beginning of the year, we had a couple kids we found in a shed in the bush, and turns out they were from another country, and we kind of did some investigation, got some translators, figured it out, and got them home. But then it kind of gave us a peek into the can of worms, but it hadn't quite pried open just yet. And then around August time frame, there was another child who escaped from an abandoned mine where illegal mining was taking place, and he was able to make his way to a local police station. We were called in, again, translators, et cetera, et cetera. And the pieces starting to come together. And shortly thereafter, in the August-September timeframe, the raids began happening in abandoned mine shafts. And there were hundreds of people who had been trafficked into these mines and were being forced to work in there in beyond squalid conditions. Many of them hadn't even seen light of day for 6 months. They had so many diseases, and it was horrible. They were given, one of the guys told us, they were given about a kilogram, which is just over 2 pounds, of dry cornmeal. In South Africa, it's called pap. And they were given that to eat every week. So they basically had 1 kilogram of dried cornmeal as their food for a week. So yeah, and if they got thirsty, they had to drink the sulfuric water down in the mines. These guys were so sick, I couldn't even believe these guys were alive. And you know, and they told of many of those who didn't make it, just rotting down there in the mines. The other thing that was involved there were boys as well, minors, and they were trafficked in for sexual exploitation in the mines. And yeah, that was just ugh. You know, Satan's horrible, his minions are horrible, and just bad stuff. So yeah, so but you know, we started kind of blowing this mining thing open, but here's the kind of problem, if you will, is that the government had already taken a very strong public stance against the mining, the illegal mining, and had pretty much classified all illegal miners as criminals because they were conducting an illegal mining activities. Problem is, they didn't leave the door open for the possibility that some of these miners were trafficked and being forced to work. So now we're dealing with labor trafficking. And so there's this tough situation right now going on in South Africa because they're deploying the military, they're deploying SWAT forces, stuff like this, to root out illegal miners. But the ability to differentiate between those who are there willingly and those who have been trafficked in is not there, and so everybody's being treated as a criminal. Meanwhile, a lot of these guys were actually kidnapped from their home countries and forced into the mines, so they're not criminals. And so we're working really hard right now to straighten that out and get some discernment into this process and provide help for those that were trafficked in. Now, for the rescues that we were involved in, we were able, even though nobody would assist and everybody was just full of junk, we were able to keep track with some of these guys, and help facilitate the repatriation of the trafficking victims to their home countries in some of the cases. And it's in the tens, okay? So that's meaningful. And like I said earlier, if one dude got home who didn't want to be there, amen. You know, I mean, whatever. Like, come on, people. Like, can we care about every single human the way that the Lord does? This is what our team has been trying to share with all of our partners, is that the moment you transition away from seeing human trafficking as the plight of the individual to the plight of the statistic and the nation, like a national statistic, when you transition from the individual to the national statistic, you've lost your ability to compassionately deal with the plight of the stolen soul, you know, the soul that was taken and trafficked. You've lost your ability to help. You're not useful. And we pray that we never become useless to the Lord's work. We pray that we never get caught up in the conversations of national statistics. And this is a tough thing, especially in the U.S. Everything in the U.S. is about numbers. Everybody's about numbers and data and, you know, return on investment. And, you know, I just kind of, you know, and I speak as someone who knows a lot about business school. You know, I just kind of wish there were a few fewer business school executives involved in nonprofit work. And specifically the peristatal church work that we do. We don't need return on investment accountants driving the heart of mission. That is, and look, I love return on investment accountants, but they are not the hands and feet of Mercy Ministry. They're just not. That's not their calling. Their calling is to keep, you know, the tips of the spear in business and in the field. And the tips of the spear who are gifted and equipped to having that heart and compassion for the victims in the front lines. You know, everybody's got a role to play, right? And I kind of feel like in the U.S., it's like everything revolves around money. And although money's important and, you know, nobody ever has enough, you know, I can say that for our organization. You know, we're constantly scraping the bottom of our barrel because we expend everything that we take in. You know, we have a very modest reserve at Save Them. And the reason we have any reserve is because you never know when the number two, when the feces are going to hit the fan. And you either have to have surge capital, like you have to, let's say, you know, just kind of non-hypothetically saying, you know, you have to abandon your safe house and move in the middle of the night and get another safe house. Meanwhile, you just had to pay rent in two locations in the same month and burn a whole bunch of fuel and blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm just, you know, again, non-hypothetically saying that kind of stuff happens. And we don't ever want our teams to have to not focus on the work because they're having to worry about the cash. So a couple years ago, we started building up a very, like I say, very modest reserve just to cover surge funding. And so we never turn away from helping a rescue just because we don't have funding. That would be tragic, right? And so the more of that we can grow, the better, for sure. It definitely keeps me awake at night. But, you know, there you go. And there are times where we scrape the bottom of the barrel. I say that because that's kind of as far as the money thing goes for us. You know, we need as much giving as possible to fill up the tank so that we can drive the vehicle as far and as effective and as efficient as possible. It's not so that we can, you know, go joyriding. See what I mean? We're a needs based ministry, not a nice to haves based ministry. However, a lot of your kind of standard nonprofit world conversation is around organization building, and it's around growing staff and being big and being impressive and, you know, having a lot of really slick looking annual reports and being on the television and everybody knows your name and that kind of stuff. It's just not what we're about. So I guess there's maybe a place for that. Maybe it's not in counter human trafficking. I might go so far as to say that. Counter human trafficking should by definition be a bit more about the work and less about the organization. And I remember this conversation very early on when I was getting into this, and one of my mentors, he was in London at the time. He had worked 18 years in India working counter human trafficking, and he told me very frankly, he said, look, there are billions of dollars being poured into counter trafficking globally. And he said, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions are going into India. He said that there were 10 plus organizations that people could say were working in India. But when he was there, honestly, to be quite frank, on the ground, there were only three that were actually doing anything. And everything else was, quite frankly, a money-making racket. And so, I hate that, but you know, it kind of makes sense. Because if you're Satan, and you are the opposition of everything righteous and just and in this world, and you're trying to undermine the ability to right wrongs, then draining resource out of the fight is going to be your major play. Don't you think? At least a major play. The easiest thing to do to undermine a ministry who's doing meaningful work is to just attack their finances. Listen, I am speaking from direct experience here. And we have been under attack since we got started. There are corrupt entities within the governments which to this day are trying their darndest to keep us from existing. The number of times that our paperwork and our submissions and our registrations and all these kinds of things have mysteriously just disappeared is too many to count. To recount on this podcast. But let me tell you, it exceeds two handfuls. And at some point, you just kind of go, okay, whatever. But something that happened this year is that our authority partners have gotten sick of it. And they have launched their own internal investigations on, not on our behalf, but on behalf of the system. Because this should not be happening. And the fact that individuals within a system can compromise and sabotage simply because they're either bought off or they're part of the criminal activity should not be able to happen. And so that was a bright spot this year. You know, finally, after 10 years, this has been going on forever. Ugh, man, it's nonstop. But look, another bright spot this year, we as a U.S. board took the decision mid-year, that the mileage on the lead South African rescue vehicle was getting too high, and that we were going to be putting the team at risk if we kept fielding that vehicle as our only primary rescue vehicle in the field with such a large number of miles on the clock, because you never know when the thing's going to peter out. So we undertook to effectively do a kind of a matching campaign, if you will, where we petitioned the Save Them family to dig deep, and you did. The Save Them family came to the table, and our goal was to raise $20,000 in a month. And if we could raise 10 of that, we were going to apportion 10 of funding that we had recently raised and were targeting for some goodness. And then the Save Them family came up big, and we were able to pull all that together within 1 month, between the donations and the matching. And we were able to buy and field that new lead rescue vehicle in South Africa in September. So that was amazing. That, to me, that's how it works, right? That's the body of Christ rallying together to make sure that those at the tip of the spear are well equipped. And yeah, it's so cool. And actually, as I speak to you right now, the same thing has happened stateside in a different way, which I'm not going to go into, but there are people who are equipping the tip of the spear with the tools they need to get things done. And that is so amazing, so valuable, so reassuring. You know, I think about the testimonies in the book of Acts where Paul and the apostles were running around collecting money for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And everybody rallied to aid the brethren. And that's awesome. And that's where we're at. And I'm seeing that. I'm living it. I'm seeing it breathed out into the work that we do. And I just love it. It's such an honor to be involved in this. And I just encourage all of you out there to, you know, whether it's Save Them or something else, I encourage you to be part of equipping, being the solution, praying into the spiritual warfare. Like, just be. Be the body. Just be the body. Find the gap and fill the gap. Do whatever you can with whatever you have. You know, be the lady with the penny who gave the penny to the collection, and that's all, you know, that was the greatest gift of all. Be the widow who gave the oil to the prophet when that was her last oil. And then just watch the fruit of blessing in your life as you walk in concert with the character of God and the will of the Lord, and just experience that. You know, it's there for us to experience what it's like to be unified with the Lord and His Holy Spirit. It's the most amazing thing, and it's on offer to all of us who call Christ our Lord and Savior. There's nothing better. There's nothing worth more than that. You know, that's the kind of stuff I get excited about. I mean, you know, like, I can tell you the story of that lady earlier who we rescued, and now she's engaged and all that. But you know what the most important part of her story is? It's that she's an evangelist for Jesus Christ. She is an on-fire evangelist for the Son of Man, who came to set us free. She is on fire for Him, and she breathes out that testimony to the goodness of God, to the providential sovereignty of the Lord in everything she does. And that's amazing. And that is the most important part of everything that's going on in her life. And yeah, I'm excited she's going to get married and whatever. But you know what? stuff happens. You know, life happens, things happen. I'm glad she has a job, but you know, whatever, you know, maybe the business goes bankrupt and she loses her job, or, you know, whatever. I mean, it doesn't really matter. None of those things ultimately matter as long as we are partaking in the peace that surpasses all understanding, which is the gift that Christ offers us, so that as we walk this journey and we proclaim his name through the power of the Spirit to the glory of the Father, that everything will come right. Everything to his glory will be redeemed. You know, and it gives you a confidence to not feel like you're always going to make mistakes. Because sometimes, you know, just being the body of Christ is being a mistake maker and then watching the Lord repair your mistakes or redeem your mistakes. You know, I really appreciate the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter, that old boy, man, I cannot wait to sit down with him over a holy, holy, holy and just get a feeling for this guy. And just get a little feedback from the field. You know, when he's jumping in the water with his clothes on, swimming to Jesus. I mean, when he's warming his hands and denouncing Christ or renouncing Christ, you know. And yet, when he's sitting on the beach and they're eating fish and the Lord's calling him to feed his sheep. And then when he stands there at Pentecost and the Holy Spirit descends. And then he preaches to the 3,000 who come to the church in a single day. Wow, you know? And yet, Peter was a beer, a doer, a goer. And he tended to kind of act before thinking or speak without thinking. You know, hey, Lord, hey, I'll build tents for you guys. Nervously, not knowing what else to say. As the Lord sits there with Elijah and Moses in his glory. And yet, on this rock, I will build my church. On that foundation of Christ Jesus and being the Holy Spirit's hands and feet, working out the calling, fighting this fight for on the behalf of the Father to bring creation into his control and to undo the works of darkness. That is sweet. It's the sweetest thing. And that's been a great part of this year. It's just seeing all those kinds of stories. I think one other highlight I want to, well, two other things actually. This thing about abusing children, I mean, we continuously are called into cases where we're finding people who are abusing children really badly, really badly. And the authorities aren't wanting to do anything about this. And so we're having to find ways to get children removed from these horrible environments. But the physical and sexual abuse of children is out of control. And it's getting worse. And so I do encourage everybody to keep your eyes open. If you see anything wrong with any child, please bring it to the attention of whomever the Holy Spirit lays on your heart, or be the solution yourself, whatever you need to do. But this thing about the children being discarded and abused and just treated as trash has got to stop. And the church is going to have to be the ones to stand in that gap. So I had another case this week just pop up on my radar, and these two little boys, man, and basically found naked sleeping on a floor in a house. Having been beaten and abused the night before and left pretty much to their own feces. And it's just horrible, okay? And so I do ask you to maybe just generally in your prayers, pray for the little ones that we encounter, because it's pretty bad in many situations. And you don't have to see and experience that to know that it's horrible. So keep them in your prayers. There was one other thing I was going to touch on. What was it? I am getting older, you know. I don't know about you guys, but every day we get older. And there is a new challenge. And for me, it seems to be scraping my memory. That just, wow. But yeah, anyways, I won't keep pressing too hard here. This has been a great year. Next year is going to be very, very turbulent already. We see it coming. There are a lot of unknowns heading into next year. Please, please, please keep this fight in your purview. We were done a favor this year with the Sound of Freedom movie, which kind of put the issue of trafficking on people's radars, and that was a huge blessing to get people thinking about and focusing on how do we stop this. I can't say too much, but I will say that there are major, major projects underway to stop and undo this tidal wave of trafficking of children that we have seen. So keep the big picture in mind as you pray into the micro level details as well, with the abused children, because at a society level, something's got to give. And I think the thing I want to encourage you with is that the machinations are underway to change the dynamic. And we are going to put Satan on his heels, and he is going to be fleeing, holding his tail, because the church is rising. The church has had enough. The church is not going to sit by. And the church is about to take the fight to the enemy in a way that he's never seen. And praise be to God, the Lord God Almighty of heaven and earth. May his wrath consume our enemy. And may we be faithful stewards of that calling and that mission. But that's what 2024 is going to be intense. I'm telling you now. And yeah. Oh, last thing. I did remember what I was going to say. We are going to be venturing into a multi-country expansion in 2024. And there's some really cool stuff coming together where we're going to be brought in to some pretty high-level stuff. And we're going to be training and mentoring groups in different countries to fight this fight on their turf. And that's very exciting. And I can't wait to see how that takes shape. So keep that on your radar. I would be remiss to beg you that if it's on your heart at all to support this ministry, that you dig into whatever digging apparatus you have that has cash in it, and that you help invest in this ministry. Whenever I say words like expand, it's going to take us cash money to get things off the ground. And even if we start putting reimbursable frameworks in place where things get paid for, et cetera, et cetera, it first takes some doing to get things started, and we usually have to float those expenses. And that's fine. That's missional work. We're not at all complaining about that. But we need the help of those who can help, because when we're in the field busy doing what we're doing, we can't be sitting around coming up with cash. It's just not the way it works. So I am issuing an appeal to the churches, the body of Christ, to rally to the cause and to take up a collection for the poor Jews, the poor Christians in Jerusalem, who have been ostracized from society and are in need of help from the greater body. That's where we are right now as we look to expand this fight. And so I ask you, if anybody out there is getting an end of year bonus, or you've got some kind of inheritance coming, or you got some kind of end of year giving that you like to do, where you sit down with your spouse and get excited about investing in the kingdom, I ask you just to keep us in mind at Save Them, that that we're part of your solution set as you are part of the kingdom's fight. that you would help enable us to do our work. And that's kind of how we do it. So to those of you who have given already this year, a huge, huge thank you. Because I think one of the biggest highlights of this year, so we launched this podcast the end of 22. One of the biggest highlights this year since we launched the podcast is that people who we don't know personally have really started to climb on board with Save Them. And that's exciting. That's exciting because now the net, the reach of the body has grown. And when more of us are involved, then more can be done. And our reach is greater. And so, you know, we've been fighting a Gideon's fight for a long time. And although our fight will always be a Gideon's fight to a certain extent, we can do so much more in so many more places when we're well equipped than if we have one hand tied behind our back. So I think you understand. And I think if any of you were in my position, you would understand what I'm asking and why I'm asking. So anyways, that's kind of the way it goes. And guys, everybody out there, and I thank you for listening. I thank you for caring. I thank you for being the body. And if anyone out there is listening and you don't know Jesus Christ, if Christ is not the Lord of your life, I do encourage you to read the Bible. Start with the book of John and then read the New Testament. And then read the whole Bible and learn about Jesus. Learn who God is and learn who your creator is, because he loves you. He cares about you. He has a destiny for you. You are not inconsequential. You are known and you are loved by the only one who can know and love you deeper and more meaningfully than even you know and love yourself. And I do encourage you to place your heart and your eternity in his hands. You'll never regret it. You will never, ever look back and say, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. No, because on that day, when you cross the line and step into the light, your life will be forever changed. And your eternity will forever be in the presence of the glory of God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. There's nothing more amazing than that. And to him be the glory. And we do raise up all these petitions today in the name of Jesus Christ, his wonderful son, who came and died for us so that we may be unified with the Father to the glory of the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, God is in us when we proclaim the name of Jesus, and you'll never be alone. If you're alone out there right now, you will never be alone when you walk with the Holy Spirit. He's always with you. He's always caring for you. He's always counseling you. He's always giving you wisdom, love, peace, patience, kindness, joy, goodness, gentleness, all the fruit of the Spirit. And for those of you who are pretty jaded and hard-hearted and think, you know, you kind of got it all sorted out, I do want to tell you, I was there as well. And on the day when it all came crashing down and I finally realized I was full of bollocks and that my the myth of me had reached its end stage, everything does change on a dime. The journey of changing away from who we are does take time. But the being reborn again, as Christ counseled Nicodemus in the scriptures, that part of being reborn in the Spirit happens in an instant. And then you're in the family. And you'll never, ever, ever be without family again. Ever. And so I do encourage you to call in the name of Jesus today, if that's not something you've already done. And I know for all of us who have called on the name of Jesus and do walk with the Lord, we do tend to drift and we lose our center. And I do pray that during this Christmas season, that you will recenter on Christ, that you will understand that a Savior was born to this world as an infant, the lowliest of the low, so that His creation could be brought back to Him. What a gift. What a gift. And, yeah, eat some pie, a lot of chocolate, and rejoice in the name of Jesus Christ this Christmas. And that's where I'm going to leave it for today. All right, love you all. And I don't say that trivially, because I actually do. If I knew you, I would tell you, love you, man. Hang in there. And hopefully you'll do the same towards me and my team. Yeah, so take care. And adios 2023. Let's kick it 24. All right, let's rock. This is Landon, and I'm out. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Save Them podcast. As always, you can find us at savethem.org. See you next time. Thank you, and donkey.